The views and opinions expressed by hosts, invited speakers, and callers do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the Black Talk Media Project or the Black Talk Radio Network.
This is the key.
Hey, welcome everyone to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. It's your host, David Rand, a.k.a. Dave from L.A. Today is Tuesday, October the 13th, 2015, and we have a live show for you today. Just want to thank Scotty, as always. I was listening to his show. Great show, Scotty. Sorry about yesterday, everyone. You know how you get last-minute calls on emergencies. We are currently in the process of moving. And it's a big move for us, and it requires a lot. So we have different things that we got to take care of, schools and everything else, and it's you know, always a ordeal. So just want to thank you all for listening to Tando Radio Show, and I would say, hey, everyone, please continue to support Black Talk Radio Network and everything that's being brought to you, because you think about it. Where else do you get this type of programming for our people, by our people? Nowhere. And it's so important that you continue to support this network by spreading, you know, what's going on about, you know, spreading the network to your friends, family, word of mouth, telling people about Black Talk Radio Network and the programs that are here, and also making monetary donations to the network to keep it going. Because believe me, as things in this country, in this world, continue to unfold, you're going to need Black Talk Radio Network. I know that there is, you know, things that are in the works from the Trans-Pacific Partnership, where they want to silence alternative media, you know, programs such as, you know, Tando and Black Talk Radio Network and everything else. This is one of the things that they want to do, through a censoring program that the Trans-Pacific Partnership, which is nothing more than the highest form of fascism, where corporations have taken over governments, and you send into a real plight state of plutocracy. So this is why you need to continue to support it. And because believe me, the only thing that they want on the media airways are the mainstream media, which is nothing more than the Trans-Pacific Partnership propaganda. So if you're not familiar with the Trans-Pacific Partnership, get familiar with it. We'll do a show or two on it. We've done a couple of shows, very important, as this starts to gain legs, and it's starting to spread everywhere. There were big protests, millions of people in Germany, refusing to participate in protesting against the Trans-Pacific Partnership. Would you see anything here in this country about that size, or, you know, with that type of relevant significance? Not at all. And it's probably one of the most important and most dangerous things that are facing the everyday person. Because believe me, what does Trans-Pacific Partnership mean? It means this: the expansion of the prison industrial complex, the expansion of the pharmaceutical industrial complex, the expansion of the militarized industrial complex will expand 100-fold. Basically, what they're going to do, you think it may not affect you, but what the Trans-Pacific Partnership means is this, is that you will be a slave to corporations. They will tell you how to live, where to live, what to eat, and how long to live. And believe me, they will not give you long, and they will not give you much prosperity, no matter what you do. This is the overall movement that's happening, and you need to know about it. It's the Trans-Pacific Partnership coming to you fast and in a very serious way. So get on board, everyone, because this fight is not about the media outlet. This fight is not about Black Talk Radio Network. It's not about Tando. It's about you. It's about you living. I've already as well as you should have already made your decision that there's a line in the sand. And no matter what, at some point, you're going to have to do more. And this fight is not going to be one that will exclude you. You will be in the fight. You will either be a casualty of it, by a bystander, or you will be a participant in it. Either way, you will be run over by it all. So I think it's really, really time for everyone to understand with moving globally and the events that you're seeing unfold, what do they really mean and what direction are they trying to push and propel human society and particularly our community, the black community. And believe me, they're more afraid of our community than any other community on this earth. So it's time for us to start to really, really look at and start to action plan things and get in front of all of this stuff and make our presence known and change and dismantle the courses that have been established. You know, I'm not one to really believe in anything that's written as far as any decree or any legislation that any government will bring about. But there's just some parts of things that are very true. From the Declaration of Independence, it's time to abolish it all. And that would be the only part that I totally, totally agree with. Now it's time to abolish it all, because no longer, and never has it ever been, where it's worked for the people. It's only worked to enslave, manipulate, and deprive, and to maintain a prosperity law for every person, especially within our community, the black community. So no longer will bystanders be able to sit on the sidelines and just watch and continue to go about their way of life. The steamroller will grab and consume all, because that's the overall plan. So you might as well fight. Might as well fight on your feet. So, hey, today's show, just want to say before we get going, hey, didn't post much into Tando Radio Show's Facebook page today, but been really busy. But there are some really, really important stories that are put there yesterday that I want to talk about before we jump into the show. And this was from yesterday's, and yesterday's postings, the IMF, while the IMF, the UN, the Bank of International Settlement, which means the BIS and Citibank, all warning about an economic crisis. Why are they all talking about this? And if you have been following, and is also you can add in the World Bank, all of these organizations are in collusion with each other, and they're all one big fraternity. But one of the things with them is that they tell you before they do stuff, and they're telling you what they're going to do. While the IMF, the UN, the Bank of International Settlements, Citibank, all warning that an economic crisis could be imminent. And this article comes from Intel Hub, and is basically just going to check this out. The warnings are getting louder. Is anybody listening? For months, I have been documenting on my website how the global how the global finance system is absolutely primed for a crisis. And now some of the most important financial institutions in the entire world are warning about the exact same thing. For example, this week I was stunned to see that the Telegraph had published an article with the following anonymous headline, $3 trillion dollar corporate credit crunch looms as debtors face day of reckoning, says the IMF. IMF stands for the International Monetary Fund. I call them the International MF, because that's what they do. They totally screw countries over. Article continues, and actually what we are heading for will be more accurately described as a credit freeze or a credit panic, but a credit crunch will definitely work for now. The IMF is warning that dangerous over-leveraging that has been witnessed threatens to unleash a wave of defaults across the globe. It goes on to say, governments and central banks are risk-tipping that the world is going into a fresh financial crisis. The IMF Monetary Fund 1 warned as it called on a corporate debt bulge in the world's developed economy. Emerging markets, companies have overborrowed by $3 trillion in the last decade, reflecting a quadruple of private sector budgets between 2004 and 2014, found the IMF Global Financial Stability Report. This dangerous over-leveraging now threatens to unleash a wave of defaults that will imperil an already weak global economy, said stark finding from the IMF twice yearly report. The IMF is actually telling the truth in this instance. We are in the midst of a great debt bubble the world has never seen before, as its monumental threats to the global economy continue. But even though we know about the threat, that doesn't mean that we can do nothing about it at this point or stop it from what is about to happen. It's impossible to stop what's going to happen. What can happen, this is just my opinion, what can happen is that you can individually prepare for it and be ready so that you can place yourself and your family and our community in a position of advantage as this happens. So the article continues to say. But even though we know about the threat, this does not mean that we can't do anything about it at this point or stop what is about to happen. The Bank of England, the UN, and the Bank of International Settlement, known as the BIS, which is one of the, they are out of Basel, Switzerland, which is the fourth city-state in the world. They only tell you pretty much about three, Washington, D.C., the Vatican, and the City of London, the financial city of London, not the London itself. It's a district within the City of London, which is the financial hub. The Vatican is the religious hub, and Washington, D.C. is temporarily the military hub, which will be switched over to Beijing in the coming years because the U.S. is pretty much done. So article continues. The IMF warns echoes a chorus of others. The Bank of England's chief economist, Andy Haddon, as he argued that the world is entering the last episode of a three-part crisis trilogy. The UN's trade and development arms would like to see an advanced economic boost, public spending to offset the downturn in the emerging economy. The Bank of International Settlement believes interest rates have been too low for too long, encouraging too much risk-taking in the financial market. All of them fear that the global financial system is primed for a crisis. I particularly like Andy's Haldren's liking our current situation to a three-part crisis trilogy. I think that this is perfect. And if you are familiar with movie trilogies, then you will know that the last episode is usually the biggest and the baddest. Citigroup's economist. Wilmer Butler said, also believes that the big trouble is on the horizon. In fact, he is publicly warning a global recession in 2016. Citigroup economists look at the world's landscape and sees an economic performance sustainability below potential output, which he used as the general benchmark for the idea of global recession. With that in mind, he said the chances of global recession in 2016 are growing. We think that the evidence suggests that the global output gap is negative and that the global economy is currently growing at a rate below global potential growth. The negative output gap is therefore widening. In a note to clients, he said that the output gap that was probably quite close to zero fairly recently, continued subprime global growth is likely to put the global economy back into a recession. If indeed the world ever fully disengaged from the last recession called by the global financial crisis. Usually when we are plunged into a new crisis, there is some sort of trigger events that create widespread panic. Yesterday I wrote about the ongoing problem at the commodities giants such as Glencore. Google and the Noble Group. The collapse of any one of these could potentially be the new Lehman moment, but something else happened just yesterday that is extremely concerning. Just a couple of weeks ago, I warned about the biggest bank in Germany, Deutsche Bank, was on the verge of massive trouble. Well, on Wednesday, the bank announced a loss of more than $6 billion for the third quarter of 2015, which was really $7 billion. Deutsche Bank, new boss, John Kreien, said about cleaning up Germany's biggest bank on Thursday, revealing a record pre-tax loss of 6 billion euros, about 6.7 billion in U.S. dollars. In the third quarter, warning that investors of a possible dividend cut, write-downs impaired for all litigation costs and all contributing to a loss, the bank said. Kreien became the chief executive in July when they promised to cut costs. The Britons is accelerating plans to shed assets and exit countries to shrink the bank, and it's preparing to axe about 23,000 jobs, or a quarter of the banking staff, source told Reuters last month. Now, let me tell you something about Deutsche Bank. Many people went to Deutsche Bank because they were the greatest risk taker. Within the banking realm, you go to Deutsche Bank to make as much cash or money that most people call money. I don't call it money because it's not money. Most people to go to Deutsche Bank to make as much cash and currency as they possibly can because they are so risky in all of their investments, but that's because they were totally rigging the market themselves. So Deutsche Bank was where you were to go to make as much as you possibly can. So now, just to give you a little, insiders on how that worked, and now they're going to drop about 23,000 jobs. Keep an eye on Germany. The problems there are just beginning. Something else that I'm closely watching is the fact that major export nations such as China, that used to buy up lots of U.S. government debt, are now dumping that debt at unprecedented rates. The following comes from Wolf Richard, which is true. We're going to move this down. Five large purchases of U.S. Treasuries, China, Russia, Norway, Brazil, and Taiwan, had changed their minds. They're dumping treasuries. They're talking about U.S. treasuries, each for their own reasons that are now coinciding in the fastest rate loss on record. For the 12-month period ending between July and sales of treasuries by central banks around the world reaching a net of $123 billion, the biggest decline since data started to be collected in 1978, the Wall Street Journal reported. China, the largest foreign owner of treasuries, its hoarding peaked at around $1.317 trillion in November of 2013, has been unloaded with particular passion by July. The latest data available from the U.S. Treasury Department, China pile was down to about $1.214 trillion. Very, very significant. Very significant. And I'm going to tell you why that's so significant. Let me just finish this. Yes, I know the stock market went up once again on Thursday. One of the things you do is you never watch the stock market. The stock market is nothing more than a manipulated game to keep you in front of mainstream media. Mainstream media produces the stock market. It's all a rigged game. And if you're in the stock market, you are in the gambling casinos of the corrupt corporations and governments. There's no way that you can win over a very long period of time. And if you're just a passive investors in the stock market, those are the ones they love the most, where you just get blind faith because they're going to crush everything that you have in the market in the very near future. When? I don't know. But I do know this, it will happen, and you will not be exempt from what their overall plan is to do, and that is to continue to exact from you what you worked so hard for in your past, which is your labor. So now, it goes on to continue. We're going to just finish this out. The true cost is that everyone is not going to be just fine. So true. No, I missed this part. Let me go back. Yes, I know the stock market went up on Thursday, and all of the irrational optimists are once again telling us that everything is going to be fine. The truth, of course, is that everyone is not going to be just fine. Ever since I started the economic blind, I have never wavered in my belief that the greatest economic crisis that the United States has ever seen is coming, and I have written well over 1,000 articles setting forth the case for the coming collapse in excruciating detail. Nobody is going to be able to say I didn't warn them about it. Those that have been blind faith in Barack Obama, the Wall Street, the Federal Reserve, and other major banks around the planet will continue to mock the idea that a major collapse is coming for as long as they can. But when the day of reckoning comes and arrives, the crisis come knocking at their doors, what will they do then? They will do exactly what every person in Greece is doing right now that didn't prepare for the collapse of their economy. They will be in line and begging and upset and hungry and starving for whatever that they can get because they chose not to prepare while the time was right for them to prepare. Now, it doesn't mean that those people are not going to survive, but what they've done is they placed themselves in a position of handicap against what's going to happen. And this is what we hope to avoid here at Tando, and this is why we talk about the things that we talk about, and this is why we're bringing the shows that we're bringing to you. Now, so, listen, everyone, if you'd like to get in on the conversation, we'd love to hear from you. Give us a call at 641, that's the area code, 715-3660, and the participant code is 5490, 32 pound. Then hit star 61, that will let me know that you have a comment or a question that you would like to ask, or you would just like to get in on the conversation. So, with that being said, these major institutions are telling you what they plan on doing. Why do they do that? I'm going to tell you why they do it. They do it so when the trap is sprung, they can say, see, we told you it was going to happen. Now, this is what you have to do. Since you didn't listen to us in the beginning, now that we got your attention, this is what we're going to need you to do now. And what they're going to do is enslave you even further. And most people, because they haven't prepared, they haven't made ready for this, they haven't even taken the slightest opportunity to prepare, they are going to do whatever they're told to do. A soldier could never do what a warrior thinks. A soldier always takes orders. A warrior thinks a strategic plan to victory. Huge difference. And I would say for all of you that have been preparing, thank God you have. And you just continue to do as much as you possibly can do with what you have to deal with. Even people that have been preparing for years, is no guarantee that they're going to make it. And people that haven't even prepared at all, some of them may get lucky and do well and make it, because circumstances just sometimes work that way. But see, the thing is that you have to look at the odds. You have to weigh the math. You have to do the numbers. What you want to do is that you want to increase your percentages of you surviving this, you and your family surviving this, but not only surviving this, you actually gaining and benefiting from this and having a position of advantage from the outcome. Even though you didn't create what's going to happen and what's unfolding right now, you still can position yourself and your family to where you can get back the prosperity that was lost of the past. Because what we're going to see is a great wealth transfer. So now, with that being said, we're getting ready. Before we go to the commercial break, what I wanted to do, and it's so important that we do this, is that we have to set the table of preparedness. And the table of preparedness is food, water, protection, shelter, and energy. That is the table of preparedness. And we're going to look at these individual legs in the tabletop of preparedness separately, so that we can spend time getting you the information that you need to prepare. Now, everything that we talk about here on Tando does not fit every single person in every circumstance, but it is just a start for what you could do and to increase your overall odds in succeeding. So today's show, we're going to look at food. Tomorrow, we will look at water, water being one of the most important thing. But we're going to look at food today. We're going to look at the leg of food for the table of preparedness. So if you'd like to get in on the conversation, we'd love to hear from you. The number is 641-715-3660, and the participant code is 5490-32-POUND. Then hit star 61 if you have a question or comment, or you just want to get in on the conversation. So let's focus in on food, everyone. and let's get our people prepared. Get yourself prepared, your family prepared, and also our community. So we're getting ready to go to a commercial break. When we come back, we're going to jump right into this. You listen to the Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network.
Have you thought about getting into podcasting but don't know where to start? Have something to say to the world but don't know how? The popularity of podcasts and internet radio streaming continues to grow with millions of people on the planet gaining internet connectivity through a multitude of devices. In the current media age, people can browse internet radio stations or listen to podcasts right from the dashboard of their cars. There are few barriers to anyone who wants to produce internet-based media. To encourage media production for black people by black people, if you are an independent black media producer or want to become one, the nonprofit Black Talk Media Project is offering unlimited and unmetered podcast hosting services below industry pricing. Need more information about the industry and the technology? Find out how to create internet-based radio broadcasts and or podcasts at www.knowledgebase.blacktalkradionetwork.com. Again, that's www.knowledgebase.blacktalkradionetwork.com.
You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
All right, everyone, welcome back to the Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. It's your host, David Wren, a.k.a. Dave from L.A., and I just want to thank you all for listening today and chiming in. So today's show, we're going to be talking about food and how to start preparing with food, and if you have any suggestions, if you have any practices that you're actually engaging in regards to storing of food, collecting food, and you know ways, very cost-efficient ways to acquire food, and please definitely jump into the conversation. We'd love to hear from you about that, and this is also important thing. Now, before we get going in this, let me tell you why this is so important. We are looking at the tail end of hurricane season, I believe. I think hurricane season is just about to run out. Not quite sure. I believe it is, but. What you've seen in South Carolina, I would basically say this. South Carolina is probably one of, right now, South Carolina is in a very, very desperate situation. Their water has been compromised. Their roads have been compromised. And they are in a very dangerous situation there. And it's not just one or two cities. It's the whole state. Now, the continuous, and what's going to happen after the event, this is so important, like many other things. See, surviving the event may be much easier than surviving the aftermath or the effects or the ramifications of the event. Those are the ones that are the biggest threat, the longest standing ones. And South Carolina is in a very, very dangerous position. Very, very dangerous position. I wouldn't be surprised if you start to see some real water problems and illness problems that are going to come out of South Carolina, because a lot of its dams have been damaged, and dams are very expensive to rebuild. The roads have to be rebuilt. The infrastructure of so many different places have to be rebuilt because of the massive flooding that happened. This is something that does not just go away overnight or you know, a week or two or a month or two. There are some real adverse conditions that are on the horizon that are going to continue to play itself in South Carolina. South Carolina, if you're in South Carolina, you know, I know people that are in South Carolina. Tomorrow's show is going to be really, really important, because right now, South Carolina, one of the biggest threats right now is to the water source. You have to be able to drink clean and pure water. So tomorrow's show is going to be so, so important, and you need to know how to do it. You can't wait and rely on anyone else. So we have South Carolina that's going on, and this is just the start of, the season, which you start to see a lot of inclement weather that brings across real damage across this country. And I think this winter is going to be a very strong and disturbing one. And with that, on top of everything else, it could be a very eventful one. So, but today's show is about food and preparing for food. Now, food is very, very important. And it's something that you can start to acquire regardless of where your budget is, and that's what we need to talk about, is how you actually can start, to build your overall food stockpile. This is something that everyone should be doing. Initially, depending on how many people you have in your household, because every person's conditions is totally, totally different. But as a general rule of thumb, it is my suggestion that every person, that every person at least try to have at least a month, and at the very least, at least 2 weeks worth of food for every person within your house or within your household. And this is something I think is very, very important. And the key to preparedness, before we get going into some of the ways, let me say this. The key to preparedness is to start as early as possible, to start when no one else is looking or concerned about what it is that you're doing, because that's when the assets or the things that you need to acquire are the cheapest. When no one else is paying attention to them. When everyone else is partying, that's when you should be preparing. When everyone else is ignoring, that's when you should be preparing. When everyone else is not concerned about it, that's when you should be preparing, because it offers you the best leverage and it gives you the best opportunity to get what it is that you need and to have the premier choice of the items that you want to get. Okay? So you prepare for disasters, and you prepare for whatever it is that you're preparing for. You know, wherever you live in the country, you know, if you live in Tornado Alley, you need to prepare for tornadoes. If you live in earthquake country, you need to prepare for earthquake. If you live in hurricane row shores, then you need to prepare for hurricanes. If you live in high flooding areas, you need to prepare for that. Earth, you know, and so on and so forth. So, in pretty much every part of this country, there's only very few places within this country that are not in danger of some form of natural disaster. It's very, very, very small places. Parts of this country, the rest of the country, the lion's share of the country has to deal with some form of disaster or another, whether it be earthquakes, flooding, hurricanes, or tornado. It's something that is pretty persistent and pretty relevant in this country. Some areas have to deal with all four, in those areas that's extremely, you know, it's always something. So now, the key to preparing is to start when no one else is looking. And when you do that, you actually position yourself to ensure that you get what it is that you need. So let's start to take a look at what are some of the things that you need to do to prepare, and starting with food. And, of course, once again, if you'd like to get in on the conversation, you have some ideas, you have some practices, some best-known practices that you participated in, then definitely give us a call. Area code 641-715-3660, and the participant code is 54 90, 32 pounds, and then hit star 61, and that will let me know that you would like to say something or you would like to talk, have a question or comment, and I will definitely
Brother
pull
Dave,
you up.
So, I got a suggestion.
Yes, go ahead, Scotty.
I got a suggestion. I don't know if you had planned to talk about it, but in preparing for emergencies in terms of food, in the past we have talked about, you know, farming equipment and seeds and things of that nature for growing food or whatnot. But also the importance of having fishing tackle.
Oh, man. Yes, Scotty. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to mention, you know, having fishing tackle, that's a must to being prepared in terms of being able to feed yourself in case the grid ever goes down and things of that nature. Of course, we know about hunting and having, you know, rifles and stuff so that you can hunt small game and feed yourself. But also, you should also have fishing tackle. I don't care if you don't never go fishing. You should have that fishing tackle just in case you need to feed yourself if the grid goes down.
Man, Scotty, and the thing about what Scotty is saying, the fishing tackle is one of the most important forms of acquiring food. And it's one that is overlooked by everyone so much, and I'm glad that Scotty put it, because Scotty is absolutely right. And part of the fishing tackle that you need to have is actually fish trap. You need fish tackle, and you need there are actual tools and apparatus and instruments or things that you can build to trap fish, and you need to know how to do that.
Yes, because yes. I'm glad you brought that up, Brother Dave. I didn't see a fish trap until we moved back down to where I am now in North Carolina from Detroit. And I would go with my cousins to the stream and to the woods, and I was like, well, where? I thought y'all said we was going to get some fish. Where your poles at and stuff like that. So then we go down, you know, to the stream and whatnot, and they pull out the trap, and it's full of fish and whatnot. So, I wasn't even thinking about that. I'm glad you brought that up about building fish traps that you set, and then you leave them out there for a day or two and come back, and next thing you know, you got dinner for the table.
You got dinner for the table. And you know what, Scotty? This is one of the biggest preparedness tools that people forget. This is because, especially if you live somewhere where you can access fish, there are some places that you can't. If you live in some of the deserts, then you can't get to any fishing spots, you know, if you live in extreme deserts or something like that. But most of the country actually has access to waterways that have fish in it. And fishing tackle and fishing equipment and the ability to be able to harvest fish is key and critical. So, I mean, because the fish, not only what the fish actually does is multifaceted. You can use it, you know, for food. You can use it for trapping other animals. You can use it as compost for your garden. It's so important. And the fish itself, you know, if you can get fresh fish, there are certain vitamins and minerals that are within the fish's body that is essential to you, you know. And, you know, you need to know what parts of the fish that you actually need. And sometimes if you're vitamin deficient, there are some parts of the fish body that you should be eating, like the eyes, for example. Sounds bad, sounds weird, sounds nasty, but in a position of extreme need, this is some of the things that actually save you. Okay, so Scotty, the fishing, I'm gonna start there. You know, if you are not, even if you don't have the financial ability to buy as much food as possible, fishing is something that you can do almost year round. And you have to know that this is one of the best ways to put food and protein on your table that you possibly can do. And let me tell you something. Fishing is a art, and you really have to practice it to be able to really, really master it, because the fish are a whole lot smarter than what you think, you know, and there are tactics that you have to use in fishing that are so, so important, you know, and you have to learn these tactics, just like hunting. But the key to fishing is that it's something that you can do with relative ease if you know how to do it. And the trapping of fish is so, so important. When you really have to be able to acquire fish for food, the trapping of it is more important than the fishing for it. Because, you know, some of the things with the fishing for it is this, is it's the ideal thing. I mean, it's a preferred method of putting food on the table, but the ideal position is trapping. Because what happens is this, is the margin of error is much smaller, much, much smaller. And then your fishing tackle, you know, as any fisher tells you, there's a lot of things that go wrong. You know, your line breaks, you lose, you know, some of your tackle. And one of the things about fishing, I'm glad Scotty brought this up, is that you need to know how to tie your own hooks. You need to know how to make your own hooks. You need to know how to make your own lures, because you can actually make them. You can actually make them. You need to know how to make your own pole. And the lines, you need to be able to, if you can't rely on a fishing line, then you have to be able to know how to make it and make your own lines. Now, fishing lines are relatively cheap now, and this is something that you definitely want to acquire now. And I'm going to tell you, another good thing, and a major, major economic or a man-made disaster, such as an EMP, the grid going down, or war, or an extended martial law because of an economic collapse, and it's really, really bad, and you want to start to barter, let me tell you, the fishing gear and the fishing equipment and the fishing tools are going to be so, so valuable, okay? So fishing is something that you have to think about, because it's one of the most efficient ways of getting food on the table. And actually, when you really think about it, the small game, the rodents, the big game, and everything else, you know, during the Depression, deers were almost hunted into extinction. You know, raccoons and all of the game was virtually hunted into extinction. And this Depression is going to be much longer than the last one, because it's much bigger, and the overall conditions have changed. The U.S. will not be able to recover, because the U.S. dollar and the U.S. economy will not have the position that it had, and no longer will it be the relevant nation or superpower that they so-called call it now. It's going to be relegated to, I believe, below a third world nation standard. Hard to believe, but the actual evidence tells you that this is going to happen.
So, also, Brother Dave, on the issue of traps, again, because like I got a bunch of rabbit traps, man, that my uncle built. He's no longer with us. He didn't pass on with the ancestors, but, man, he was big into trapping rabbits and stuff, man. That's some of the best meat I've ever tasted, you know. Yep. But, when you mentioned fish traps, I was thinking about, it's not everybody doesn't hunt or whatnot, or if you don't have access to firearms, you can still trap food, you know.
You can still trap. And that is so true, Scotty, because you can trap in the water and you can trap on the land, and that is so, so important. And I'm going to tell you, now is the time to harness those skills, to learn how to do that now. You can't wait until something goes wrong and then you think you're going to go out and fish and trap and be relatively successful. No, but just because this is a learned art. It's you know, like Scotty, your uncle, he was a heck of a trapper because he had been doing it for years. He had been doing it for years. You take someone who's never trapped in their life, and put them out there, they wouldn't even know where to start. They wouldn't even know where to place. They wouldn't even know what a game trail looks like. They wouldn't even know what a nesting looks like. They wouldn't know a lot of the intrinsical value to hunting or trapping that's needed to be successful. So if you're someone that, you know, lives in those areas and you've been hunting and you've been trapping your whole life, let me tell you, you're going to be extremely valuable, extremely valuable. So I would just say that would be a case where you would may want to take look at where you live. If you live around a bunch of other hunters and trappers, one of the things that you may want to look at, if you were going to relocate somewhere where you can fish and trap, but do it in places where there aren't a lot of people that do that. You will increase your overall value as a individual, as your intrinsic value of your knowledge, and you will be even more successful in your overall quest in hunting and trapping. So Scotty is absolutely right. Fish tackle, fish trap, game traps, and hunting is one of the ways that you can put food on the table. And, you know, a fishing tackle does not cost much. You do not have to spend much. You'll be surprised that some of the lures, some of the cheapest lures, are some of the best lures in the world. You want to go with what works. And what I found with fishing, depending on where you are, the one that's very, very successful is just a regular blade and a hook. One that gives a reflection in the water. And you know, it's some of the, you can find these things very, very cheaply. But one of the things that you want to do when you go into lures and things of that nature, you want to make sure that you have an ample supply of them. And believe me, one of the things you have to learn how to do is you have to learn how to tie your own hooks and create your own hooks and to repair your tackle. Because believe me, your tools are going to be so, so important in the future. And get them now while no one else is looking at getting it. Because believe me, at the appropriate time when things go really bad, you're not going to be able to find a fishing rod anywhere. You're not going to be able to find one anywhere because they will become too valuable. Okay, so great, great point, Scotty. So now, also, let me switch here. Now, let's talk about how to begin. Sorry, everyone, my computer is let's talk about how to begin, you know, just the basics for prepping and for food. One, you have to know what you're preparing for. You have to know what you're preparing for. That is very, very key, and you have to know where you are in the country in order to prepare. And this is especially when it comes to food, because this will give you where you are in the country will be much, you have to know what forms of food supply and how the food supply is getting into to your area, and not only that, what you can do to augment that food. So for, you know, someone on the West Coast, you know, I'm in Southern California for now, but because it's the desert, it is the least likely place that you could actually hunt. Yes, there are things that are out there, but the likelihood of you being able to acquire that type of food is very difficult, and it requires a lot of energy. It's extremely, extremely difficult because of the desert environment. The overall food supply, wildlife food supply, is not there. So you want to look at where you are. Now, with that being said, if you're living, somewhere, if you live in a heavy animal populated wooded area, now that changes your overall quest for food. Because temporarily, and I notice I say temporarily, depending on how many people are in your state and where you live, temporarily you'll be able to hunt for your food. And that would be the first thing that you would do. Why is that the first thing that you would do? That's the first thing that you would do because that is the first source of food that is going to be taken away from you. And while it's still there, you need to participate in that. So when you talk about storing food, one of the first things that you want to look at wherever you live is look at what can you put on the table from the wildlife. And that should be your first obligation and your first look, because it is the one that is going to leave and be gone the quickest. Okay? So that's what you first look at. And what do I mean by that? Make sure you devise a plan, a strategy to be able to hunt from wherever you are, and look at what is in your ecosystem that can provide substance for you as far as wild game. You have to do that now. And then you have to perfect those skills. Okay? This is what you want to do. So that's one of the first things that you want to look at, is your wild game, how to put that on the table. Next, let's just talk about natural. Next, you want to look at your food base. We'll talk about natural things, is that you want to look at what is the natural disasters that are going to be in your area or in your geographical area or where you live, because there's really two types of preparers: the short term and long term preparers. Okay, a lot of the natural disasters would fall under short term preparedness. Okay, short term preparedness, and when you look at short term preparedness, one of the things that you want to do is that before you start to use any of your food supply, you want to be able to use anything that's being given to you, because you're in a disaster zone, a natural disaster zone. Now, this is quite different than a man-made one. This is completely different, because a short-term natural disaster is that you can anticipate that there will be some at some given time, not right away, but at some point there may be some relief that's given from the Red Cross, from the government, and I'm very leery of that. But you still want to be able to use that before you start to use any of your supplies. Before you start to use any of your supplies, okay? So now, what would I classify as a short-term disaster? You know, anything that... a disaster, you know, that will require you to prepare for anything from a week to about 4 months. Okay? That's a short term. Because if it's, you know, if it's because of a, you know, earthquake or a hurricane or a tornado, and it's, you know, only just in your area, is not something that's completely huge and it's totally widespread, there's going to be some form of aid and assistance that's going to eventually get there. You don't want to count on it. You still want to prepare. But in the event that it does start to arrive, do not use any more of your supplies. You don't want to do that. One of the things in the Art of War, Sun Tzu taught, was that if you can take your enemy's food or provisions, you have increased your combat readiness, and you have increased your overall combat success rate 100-fold. Even though Sun Tzu was talking about the battlefield, but it still applies to you, the individual, trying to survive an event. That is actually going to increase your chances and put the odds in your favor even more. Even more. So definitely, that is one of the things that you definitely want to look at. Short-term preparedness. You don't want to use your food. Oh, my goodness. Time up. Okay, everyone, we're getting ready to go to a commercial break. Time is flying. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, we'd love to hear from you. Need to hear from you. Give us a call at 641-715 3660, and the participant code is 549032 pounds, and then hit star 61 if you have, just to let me know, and it will prompt and let me know that you have a question and comment, and I will go straight to you. You're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
Tando Radio Show is live on Black Talk Radio Network, Monday through Fridays at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern. Check Black Talk Radio Network on Facebook for updates. Also, don't forget to follow Tando Radio Show on Facebook as well. Have a question or comment for the host? Give us a call at 641-715-3660. That's 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549032 pound. That's 549032 pound. To signal the host, hit star 61. Now back to Tando Radio Show on the Black Talk Radio Network.
That is, and until we have a chance to heal, we are likely to continue to do things to hurt each other. And whenever a person of African descent is harmed, an injury to one is an injury to all.
Okay, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, David Wren, a.k.a. Dave from L.A. Just want to thank you all for listening. I truly, truly do mean that. And today's show, we're talking about food and preparing. And we're just talking about some of the things that you want to consider when preparing for natural disasters or man-made events that adversely affect you, your family, and the community at large. And how to take the steps necessary now when nothing is happening. But if you're in South Carolina, everything is already happening. How to take steps now to increase your overall likelihood of succeeding. So, hey, we got a caller that's in queue. Let's go straight to this caller because I don't like to keep the callers waiting. Welcome to Tando Radio Show. What's your name? Where you calling from? What's your question or comment?
You got Team Davis here, Brother Dave.
Brother Davis, what's going on?
Well, this is not the best of times, but it ain't the worst of times.
That's it. It's our time. That's right, Brother Davis.
We're sitting on the side of the road with a maintenance problem, so I thought I'd give you a shout.
Oh, man. is there anything that anyone can do for you with?
This is a byproduct of the business, man.
Okay.
But listen, I do want to call and comment about food.
Yeah.
And one of the things people have to understand about food is that there come a point with food where you must eat for nutrition and nutrition only.
Right.
So it may not be the best tasting. You might find yourself eating nuts. You might find yourself eating roots. Or
right.
You might find yourself eating raw fish. But the whole thing is to eat. To get some nutrition and nourishment in your body. And the reason why I'm trying to emphasize that now is because our pilots have literally been abused. We've catered to them for flavor because we could afford. Well, affordability is going out the window, and choice literally will not be an option. Sometimes you're going to just eat what's available. Always learn this. When you eat roughage, chew it real good. My wife, she has this thing about almonds. She says, chew your almonds 32 times.
Right.
Because the digestive process starts in your mouth as you're chewing.
Right.
And when you're eating raw roughage, the more you chew it, the easier it is to go through your system, be taken apart by the attributes of your system, and disseminated to the areas that need whatever it is what you're eating provides. And understand how I said that. Because if you're eating spinach, you're eating what's called a very healthy vegetable. It's literally known for great value in all aspects
right.
of your body. But now if you're eating wild corn, it's entirely different. But the whole thing is understand while you're eating it. And I'm going to tell you, some of the sweet corn around here, you can literally pull them ears off, husk them right there, and eat them as well. Yeah, as my wife said, as long as they're not GMOs.
And we heard her, yes.
Because literally, what you want, once again, is the nutrition. And another thing, food will be the greatest lure.
Yes.
And if you don't watch out and you get hungry enough, you'll find that your need for food will make you a victim, and you really don't want to be a victim, because literally you're going to see victimization all through this experience. And I say experience because we want to come out the other side. Another thing about indigenous fish, know what you're eating. Try to have some, I tell you what's good, get a Boy Scout handbook or manual or a Cub Scout manual just to have. Because they have a lot of hints in there
right.
that literally can get you over a hump in a short period of time.
Right. So, you definitely have to. You know what Brother Davis is always, is just the great advice that you know, you and Sister Davis give. And I just want to start with, right, the food, you want to be able to eat for nutritional value. That's the most important thing, you know. It's not about the pleasure of the food, it's about the nutritional content of the food. You will actually, it will be wise of you to walk past certain foods, because if they're real sugary and everything else, what it's going to do is going to create a condition where you're going to be more predisposed to dehydration. So you want to pass up the empty calorie foods and the high sugar content foods, because they are going to only perpetuate and to exacerbate the need for water. And that is something that you don't want to contend with, and that's going to be a very important show. And then something else that you said that was so true is that, you know, you have to be able to start to look at, make yourself aware of what the food sources are around you. You know, you have to get the books of the edible plants. And one of the things that you also said that was so true is the digestive system. Now, I would say for everyone, if you're going to eat meat, okay, and, you know, I'm not suggesting that you not. I'm not suggesting that you do. But when food comes in as a priority, then you're going to eat what you can. What you want to do with meat is that you have to cook it as much as you possibly can. But if you don't cook it as much, right, this is the key to it. You have to make the slices of the meat that you eat as small as you possibly can. Because if you do not make it, the meat, its sizes as small as you possibly can, you will be using up more calories trying to digest it than you will be gaining as nutrition for your body. Food is very, very particular with the body, and we forget these things, or we haven't been told these very important points, in fact.
Another thing I like to add, Dave, is for those people who are fortunate enough, and I say fortunate enough because a lot of things are going to get very scary. Those people are fortunate enough to have things like beef jerky and that sort of thing. That's a good thing, because you don't have to eat your supply right away. You have to literally monitor your supply, because you don't know how long we're going to be in this situation.
Yep.
One. And two, once again, I want to emphasize that there are going to be a lot of people out here luring you for whatever assets you have. So if you get caught, and that means it's just like catching a fish. If you're hungry, or if you see water that's just going to be sitting out, looks like somebody might have put it in a bottle and forgot it, you better watch that water for maybe 3, 4, 5 hours first. Now, the reason why I say that is because if there's someone else who's keeping an eye on that water, they're doing it for a reason. And if you think that you could just run through there and grab that water and keep on going, chances are they're planning for that. So you literally want to behave according to how to survive. And I guess that's why I was trying to reiterate, get with groups, learn your community, get with like-minded people, because the more in your group, the less opportunity that you'll be picked on, unless you're mobile and agile. And whenever you see food, you keep that those two things in mind. Because it doesn't make a difference if you grab all the food, but you can't run with, or you can't get it to a place where you can pack it on you and be mobile with. And if that's the case, you're going to waste somebody else's dire, they may be in dire straits too. So, I mean, there comes a time when you got to use wisdom in everything you do. I mean, the bottom line is, I believe, like I said before, I believe in the impossible. But I also know that we're going to be under impossible circumstances. Because, listen, when this thing starts happening, all of a sudden, the very government that you thought you were preparing to vote for is going to be the people who are sitting back waiting for the timeline. The first week, after the first 3 or 4 days, whoever don't have any water, they'll be in the streets. Whoever has medicine that they run out, they'll be in the streets. And these are called liabilities. And in martial law, they eliminate the liability. So keep that in mind. Hey, look, man, I'm going to sit back in the cube and listen. You're doing a fantastic job as usual.
Brother Davis, much love, much respect to you and Sister Davis. Hey, Brother Davis, give me a call because we're in the process of moving. I need to let you and Sister Davis know what's happening and where we're going. Because it's somewhere that's within your route, and we need to, but we need to just connect anyhow.
Yes, absolutely. Hold on, did you want to say something? Okay, we're gonna sit back in the cube and listen, brother.
Peace. Okay, much love, much respect. Thank you, brother Davis, as always. You know,
Brother Dave, y'all.
Yeah, go ahead.
Both of you, Brother Davis, and you both talked about the importance of knowing what the food sources are in your area. Before I came back down south, I had never heard of poke salad. Have you ever heard of poke salad?
No.
Yes, I have.
You have? Yeah.
I'm not surprised Brother Davis has.
Well, it's a really a poisonous weed that I have seen people. Oh, I've eaten it myself. If you don't know how to fix it, then you don't need to be messing around with it because you'll get killed, all right? But I learned from elders how to prepare it. And I'm sure you can go on the internet and find out how to prepare it. But it is a weed. It grows primarily in the eastern part of North America. It also grows in the Midwest and on the Gulf Coast. And a lot of people don't know that this is a food source, that it, you know, because they saying this is a weed. It grows like weeds, and they may know that it's poisonous or whatnot. But I'm telling you, all the elders I know, man, when I was in Charlotte, my father's mother-in-law, man, we had stopped somewhere, and she was like, get that. She was telling her son, get that poke salad that's growing over there like that. And I was like, why y'all out here poking, plucking weeds and stuff like that, right?
Mm.
Man,
mm-hmm.
When she got through cooking it and whatnot, man, it tastes sort of like spinach to me. But a lot of people don't know that you can't eat it. All right, and it grows wild. It's all over the place down here, man. And so that's a food source that a lot of people don't even know about, man. And I just wanted to share.
You know what, Scotty? Well, go ahead, Brother Davis. Go ahead, because that's an important point there. Go ahead, Brother Davis.
Okay. Since you mentioned that, one of the things that I have done is I have gone into the community of refugees, people that have moved here from other countries. Because at night, they walk in the neighborhood, and they pick a lot of different things that are edible because they know what they're picking. And if you don't know, you don't have to follow them. You can literally walk with them and talk to them, and they'll tell you if they can speak English. But a lot of them, they can't even speak English. We had this beautiful bush out behind my neighbor's back. I didn't know it was edible. But every day, the 3 or 4 of these ladies would come by, walking and casually talking, and they would stop at this bush and pick about 10 or 15 leaves apiece. And they would pick them so that they didn't tear the leaf off. They pricked it right where these budded, so that another leak would come in. And I didn't realize that. But what they do is they go home and they mix this with a few different sauces and everything. And sometimes that's the only meal they had that day. But if you don't know and you don't, and you see them, inquire. Because let me tell you, I know a lot of y'all seen people that, from other countries walking around with what you look like leaves in their hands. Well, they are grocery shopping, right? So y'all keep that in mind, because when you see it, it doesn't take anything to walk up and say, "Excuse me, how you doing? I just noticed that you're carrying that particular kind of leaf. Can you? Is it edible?" And they'll tell you, "Oh yeah, we eat," and that's opening the door of conversation to grow to understand what may be right under your nose that you don't know what's there.
Wow, Brother Davis and Scotty, this is so important, because, you know, like Brother Davis said, that they're out grocery shopping, and believe me, they got the best coupon of all. It's free, and it only takes you to just create a relationship, talk to the people, and get out in front of them and increase your overall knowledge. I'm telling you, the key to surviving any ordeal is your intrinsic knowledge to how to circumvent the obstacles that ordeal or event has presented to you. And this is so important. And, you know, this is some of the key fundamental things to preparing. And, you know, Scotty talked about, you know, his family picking these weeds and cooking them and preparing them the proper way. Let me tell you why that's so important. Because so many people don't know how to do it. And if they do it, it'll kill them. That'll stop people from using it. It will stop people from using it. So what is that going to tell you? That is going to be a food source that is going to be in abundance. Oh, man, this is so key. And I'm glad, Scotty, you brought this up. And I'm glad, Brother Davis, that you held on the line to say what you said, because now is the time for you to learn as much as you possibly can. You know, take a herbalist class. Get out and find out what are the edible sources within your environment. Talk to native people. Get and start to build relationships with them, because they go into God's grocery store daily to acquire. And this is something that you need to do.
But now, I just found a recipe for poke salad. So a lot of people do know about this. All right. Mm-hmm. But it's in such abundance, you know what I'm saying, that if it came push came to shove and you're in need of some food, all you have to do is, the only thing that you do to get that poison out of it is you boil it for 20 minutes, then you drain and rinse it with cold water, then you start the whole process over again. Boil it for 20 minutes, wash it with cold water, and then a third time you boil it 20 more minutes, drain and wish, and rinse with cold water. And now it's ready, it's good to go. But like you said, because a lot of people don't know, number one, that this is a food source, or if they do, they don't know how to prepare it, like you said. That means it's going to be in abundance.
Wow. Wow, Scotty, this is amazing. If you get a chance, if you remember, Scotty, tag me that, because I would love to post that. And Brother Davis, if there's some things, I'm going to post some things, some edibles that, if you guys remember, if you could, I would greatly, greatly appreciate it to get this in, because that is, I'm telling you, that is knowledge and information that's worth its weight in gold. It's even more valuable than gold. And this is the things that you need to know, and this is why we do the show, because this is how you're able to acquire a food source at the, you know, the cheapest way to acquire a food source is to go back into God's ecosystem and God's grocery store and pantry of nutrition. It's the best form, and you just need to know. So, man, Scotty, Brother Davis, thank you so much for that, because it was so needed to hear that and to be exposed to that, just for our people to know that is available, because no longer do we really think on those terms. We think on process. We think on grocery stores. We think on terms of, you know, the commercial ways to food. But that is not the longest standing ways of food. The longest standing ways of food is the intrinsical art of God's garden, the key in the medicine cabinet to pretty much everything, you know, for every disease that man has created. God has created a herb to cure it. We just need to know what they are and how to prepare them in the way that the beneficial properties of that herb or element is brought to fruition. So, man, huge. I'm glad you brothers are here, and this is what it's all about, the collective prudence that we have, and this is why Black Talk Radio Network is so important. This is why you're so important. This is why preparing is so important, because it's going to come down to what you know and what relationships you have with people that do know. So, so important. Strike these relationships up now. So, brothers, thank you so, so much. And, you know, Brother Davis was talking about, you know, bringing, you know, the chewing of the food and everything else. But one of the things that really, you know, what he said was that was so important is you're going to have to be able to ration off and to have a discipline of your food. You're going to, that doesn't mean if you have a food supply that you all of a sudden, because you're used to eating three meals a day, that you eat four because you have it. That does not mean that. What it actually means is that you have to evaluate the overall circumstances to tell you how much food that you should be consuming. You're going to have to look at the conditions that you find yourself in to dictate how much food that you're going to be able to use. Because once you ever go into your food supply, guess what? The clock is ticking until you have no more. It does, regardless of how much you have. If you're not replenishing it in a more sustainable way, like what Scotty was talking about and like what Brother Davis was talking about, by getting it from the weeds and from the environment, this is why you have to go to that first before you even go into your food supply. Because your food supply, once you go into there, you've just started the clock ticking to where you have no more. So this is so, so important. Your food discipline is going to be just as equally as important as you acquiring it now. So, you know, one of my rules of thumb is that you use cash for the appropriate thing. I use cash to transfer it out of worthless into priceless. What do I mean by that? Take your cash and buy things that are priceless now. That's what you should be using your cash for. That's what's really, really important. So food is a very key component, and where you definitely should start. So, hey, anyone, if you have a question or comment, you'd like to get in on the conversation, would love to hear from you. Give us a call. Let me make sure I didn't cut Brother Davis off just in case they came back. No, okay. Give us a call at 1-641-715-3660, and the participant code is 549032 pound, then hit star 61, and then that will let me know that you have a question or comment that you would like to make, and I will get it straight to you. So now, continuing with the food preparedness, and as I can see, as time is already running out, wow, it's time flies. But listen, now, we talked about short term and how you want to play that with your overall food supply, okay? Now we need to look at long term. Long term would be anything longer than 3 months, okay? And there are some disasters that actually last longer than 3 months. If California, the Los Angeles area, ever has a major earthquake, then that would be a long-term preparedness situation. You know, that, because of so much infrastructure is tied into what a major earthquake would affect, that would affect the availability of goods coming in. That would affect being able to replenish. That would affect so much. I'm going to tell you something about the food chain, the overall food supply. The food supply works on such margins that are so small, they require that they be paid almost immediately in order for the food chain to continue or the supply chain to continue. It is the economy in which the supply chain of food for the for cities and for just towns and just what we're used to now, the commercial side of food and the supermarkets. The supermarkets do not have any food in their back. You know, they do not hold any supply of food. They do not store food like they used to when I was growing up, because they're on such tight budgets is that any interruption in the chain is going to totally disrupt that availability of food completely. Now, if you look at a long-term disaster, long-term disasters have the ability of knocking out power. And when power is knocked out, you can forget modern technology of food storing is going to be gone. It's going to be gone, and you have to be able to navigate that now and think about it in those two terms, short-term and long-term. You know, when you prepare for a disaster, you know, you have to look at how long of a period will you have to be self-sufficient. You know, and you look at, let's take some of the last major disasters. And I think Hurricane Sandy, that lasted for months on months. But, you know, some people didn't have power, you know, for 4 months. And then that overall deterioration of what happened, you know, some people are just starting to within the past year, is really starting to adjust to Sandy. That was a long-term preparedness situation. And, you know, but I'm going to say this. Most of the man-made ones in today's world, oh, will be a long extension, an extensive preparedness situation. Now, this is where your overall knowledge of living off of the land will be paramount in how to gather food that way. Okay? So now, in your long-term one, now you want to look at, you know, looking at long-term food supplies. You may even want to look at seeds. You may even, you know, that's where you're going to break into maybe, you know, your canned foods, your MREs, your dehydrated foods, food that you've canned and put away and things of that nature. That's when you're going to really look at, you know, long-term. And then the extended term of preparedness, that's where you're going to have to live off of, you know, your overall knowledge of the land and how to eat and how to harvest from the overall land in multiple ways by growing your food and everything else. Scotty, thanks a lot, Scotty. You got the poke salad. I'm gonna post that inside of Tando. So we'll post that there. So that's where they're going to. Getting ready to go to a break. And when we come out of the break, I'm going to post inside of Tando. Scotty sent me the poke salad recipe and how to actually do this. Man, this is amazing. So this will be posted inside of Tando. Everyone, definitely take a look at it. So needed. And like I said, once again, thanks, Scotty. This is so, so important. You just don't know how many, you know, this type of information are definitely lifesavers in so many ways. It's not always, life-saving things don't always come in ways that you expect them to come. But when they do come, you do appreciate and you do know that God is watching out for you. So thank you so much. And so I posted this inside of Tando Radio Show. And take a look at it, the poke salad recipe. Okay, so hey everyone, getting ready to go to a commercial break. When we come back, we're going to talk about how to prepare and have a supply of food. As you can see, it's very expensive, so we're going to really, really start honing in on the table of preparedness because of some of the events that are coming You know, I'm not too keen on talking about the different things as much. We will still cover those, but we really, really need to focus on the solution to these things and preparing for them. So you're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. Getting ready to go to a commercial break. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, we'd love to hear from you, need to hear from you. Give us a call. Area code 641-715-3660. And the participant code is 549032#, and hit *61, and that will prompt me to let me know that you have a question or comment, and I will definitely get to you. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
This is Brother Elliot, host of Time for an Awakening, and you're listening to Black Talk Radio Network, new media for the new millennium.
Okay, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, David Wren, a.k.a. Dave from L.A. Just want to thank you all for listening today, as always. And today's show, we're talking about how to build a food supply. And food supply is one of the legs in the table of preparedness, and one of the important things that we have to, you know, consider when preparing. And how to do just that. And, you know, we were, Brother Davis called in and Scotty had chimed in, and we talked about, you know, one of the first things that you want to look at in preparing is that we want to look at the most cost-efficient and cheapest way to prepare yourself and to have a source of food. And one of the first things that you want to look at in a short-term or a long-term or an extended term of food or disaster or man-made or natural that you need to look at is the availability to live and harvest off of the land through the wildlife or through the plant life that is there for you. That is one of the first things you want to look at, and that takes knowledge. That takes you have to learn the arts of hunting, gathering. You have to have the proper equipment to do that. We talked about so often everyone knows about hunting, you know, with bows and with guns and things of that nature. But one of the great things is that I love to, you know, and I know that you love to bring different things that we don't generally focus on and think of. And my man Scotty said that, you know, the fishing gear is one of, is just as important as the gun to hunting for your overall bringing sustenance to and nutrition to your family, yourself, and being able to provide. So a fishing equipment is so important. And we also talked about trapping equipment, that being for land and fish trapping devices. And there are things that you need to know about that. You can make those, you can buy those, but there's an art to that also. Where to place it, how to place it, how to make sure that fish go in and they can't come out, and there's some relative, you know, very small things. There's also, you know, trapping things that you can do to get minnows so that you can get other fish, you know, bigger fish. Use small fish to get big fish, and then how do you actually trap those small fish? These are things that you need to know now and prepare for now, and because that should be the first source of food that you would use. Because once you dip into your overall supply of food, now you're starting the clock to tick to where it will run out. And that's what you want to avoid at all costs. So that was the first beginning part of the show. And it was a very, very important part of the show. So now let's take a look at, we talked about short term and then long term and then extended term. So now let's take a look at some of the things commercially, how you can stockpile some of your food. Now, what I would suggest for everyone is that Some of the things that you want to stockpile is you want to take into account many different things. You want to take into account different health concerns or conditions that you or people within your family may have, because every person is different. So you want to take that into account, okay? Now, some of the things that you want to take into account when you start to stockpile food, you want to start to stockpile food that you're used to and that you know. But that doesn't mean that you have to exclusively do that. And I would suggest, you know, just for an example, if you're not someone that eats beans, you may want to start to introduce that to your diet and introduce that to your body now, because beans take a different process of digestion, and your body can respond to it differently, and you don't want to wait until it's a necessity that you start to introduce that type of food to your body. Because one of the things that you want to do, ensure, there are five things that you have to ensure in a disaster situation, whether short term or long term, but especially long term and extended term. You can't get sick, you can't get injured, you can't get in trouble, you can't get lost, and you can't forgot what the fifth one was. Oh, I'll remember later. I usually use that for my overall. Oh, and you can't be out of place, and those are the things that are very, very important when it comes to. So you don't want to get sick. So one of the things that you want to do is, if you're not, you know, for an example, if you're not someone that eats beans, then you may want to start to introduce your body to that now. So let's talk about how to stockpile. You know, everyone has their own preference of what they like to eat, all right? And one of the things that I would definitely look at is, you know, some people want to have, you know, the luxury items and things of that nature. I would say, use your resource of cash wisely, okay? Make sure you get things that you and your family can eat, but you have to always begin with the staples, the necessities of food preparedness, okay? Before you even look at any luxuries. And I would only say that, you know, luxuries should only be 0.03% of your overall food supply, okay? Very, very small, because it's about calorie count more than it is about being comfortable, okay? So that should be the last thing, if you even add that to your overall preparedness, I mean your stockpile of food at all. So you want to look at least a week to... The optimum would be 6 months, and if you could do a year of food for everyone in your family, great. But if you can't do that, that doesn't mean that that is no use in you trying to prepare for it. Because like I said, the variables within these situations are going to be so great, you know, it's going to be beyond what, you know, you may think. You can't actually course out or navigate or to plot out exactly how things are going to go. It's just like anything else. Like my man Mike Tyson said, everybody has a plan until they get in the ring and get punched in the face and get punched in the mouth. And, you know, is you know, military-wise, everyone has a tactical plan until they make contact with the enemy. So that's the case with disasters. You know, you may have plans, but then you're going to have to revise those plans once the threats hit you or the obstacles or the adversity starts to be real, becomes the reality. Okay, so canned food. All right, so you want to look at canned foods. I would always say try to start with, without a doubt, the canned foods to can yourself. If you can can yourself and you can do it safely, because there is an art and a technique to it, you want to make sure that you're not going to poison yourself and your family, canning is essential. Now, let me tell you who some of the best canners in the world right now. You want to look at the Amish And you also want to look at people that live in Alaska. You want to look at people that live in very harsh, harsh environments. And I say Alaska for this reason, because the people in Alaska have to prepare for when the winter comes. There is a window of getting enough food to make it through the winter that they live through, and it's just a part of their life. And canning is a part of that, and they are some of the best people to learn how to properly can food. And this is where you need to start looking at now, because in actuality, the bad weather of Alaska starts very early. And they have a very, very short window, so canning food is something that they have to do and be able to rely upon safely in order to do. They are the experts in the field, to me, of canning right now. Because they're the whole life. They live it. They totally, totally live it. And that's one of the things that you want to do, is you want to go to people that actually, they don't just practice this. This is their whole lifestyle. Okay? So you want to look at canning yourself. Then you can look at buying cans of food. Now, there's different ways that you can also do that. There are free ways that you can actually get canned food. But I would always suggest that you try to get the non-GMO foods first and foremost, if you possibly can. Okay? But if you can't, food is food. You're going to have to get it. And if you can blend it, there could be some canned foods that you use as barter. And if you have, you know, if you're able to get non-GMO food, you get those, and then your other canned food could be the food that you barter with. It's so many things that you can do with this. But you want to start stockpiling now. You want to get food, canned food, of course, that has the furthest out expiration date. And then when you store it, you want to put the food with the oldest, with the closest to expiration in front, and then have the oldest to the back. And then you want to have a rotation of that. Now, also the rotation that you could do is this, and it's very, very important, especially if you have non-GMO food. What you want to do is that you want to rotate that by using it and replacing it. Using and replacing, using and replacing. Once you get your stockpile to where you would like it to be based off of how big your family is and what you're able to do. What do I mean by that? Let's say you have a stockpile for, let's say, a month for your family. And what you want to do is that you may want to use that canned food. If it's non-GMO, you want to use that non-GMO canned food in rotation, where every once in a while you use it and replace it so that you get a newer expiration date, so that you keep a better expiration date and a newer expiration date on your preparedness shelves, okay? And so it requires some discipline, it requires some thought, it requires some planning. But that is one of the ways that you want to plan, okay? Now, does that mean that you don't want to buy food? No, you need to have food. Sometimes I hate to say it, even if it's, you know, food that is not guaranteed, it is non-GMO, depending on, you know, what the situation is. But you want to segregate that in priority. You know, your priority should be always to be the best food and the most nutritional food that you can have. Okay? So that's what you want to do there. And so you want to buy the foods that are the most, has the highest nutritional value. One thing you don't want to do not get a lot of the sugary foods as a part of your preparedness. Don't do that, you know, because what you're actually going to do is you're actually going to increase your overall water consumption that you're going to need. So you want to just have the best possible food that you possibly can have, okay? You know, you want to look at canned vegetables, what you can keep, watch the expiration date, rotate them. Now, just because the expiration date is up does not mean that the food is any good, but you have to be able to tell if canned food has gone bad, and you'll notice that by the bowl, from the gases and everything else. All right?
Brother Dave.
So you want to take a look at that, and you definitely don't want to buy damaged food now.
Brother Dave.
Yeah, go ahead, Scotty.
You had mentioned sugar will increase, you know, you want needing to drink water. But would that also apply to salt?
Great question with salt. Now, the thing with salt is that I would always suggest that you buy colored salt. Make sure you get pink salt. You know, it's going to cost you more. You want to get mineralized salt. Now, mineralized salt will actually, it won't, if you use it correctly, it won't cause you to have to use more water. It actually will preserve the water within your body even more.
What I was thinking of, Brother Dave, is like,
because of the sweat.
Well, I was also thinking, you know, if somebody is preparing right now and they're stockpiling food, that if they're going to buy stuff like sunflower seeds or almonds or any other kind of nuts and stuff, is that they want to get the unsalted kind, right?
Yes. See, the white salt is not, is you know, you want to try to stay away from anything that's been bleached or processed, you know, and that's what white salt is. Now, you can get it for bartering. I would prefer, get the salt that, you know, nuts and things of that nature that are not salted. Because what you want to do is that one of the ways that you can increase the alkalinity of your water is actually by putting mineral salt into the water. With other things like, and we'll talk about that tomorrow with water, but yeah, Scotty, you're absolutely right. I would also stay away from salt-based peanuts, almonds, and things of that nature. You want to stick to pink salt and colored salt because that's the mineralized salt, sea salt. You want to use sea salt and things of that nature because that they actually have a mineral content within the salt itself. Table salt is just filled with iodine and sodium. So, yeah, great point, Scotty. And yes, that I would definitely suggest you stay away from the heavy salted, white salted. Now, you know, salt is something that you may want to, white salt you may want to use as barter, but, you know, and then you could also use it for if you're going to make, if you're going to dehydrate meat, you could use white salt for that. So there are some things that you could use white salt for that are beneficial. But when it comes to preparedness for food, I would stay away from salt-based items.
You are exactly right. You're exactly right, Dave. I hadn't thought about that. I'm glad that you did, but because you can use salt to help preserve food, like, you know, even fish and things of that nature, you can use it to help preserve the food and make it last longer.
Yep, and it could be part of your process of dehydrating, creating beef jerky for your meat and all. So it's something that you definitely can do. And I would put, but you know, this is something, let me tell you something. If you're going to do that, then you need to start practicing that now. And because that type of meat is an acquired taste. And believe me, if you're not used to it, you won't be able to eat it. It'll make you sick. It will make you sick. This is something that you need to practice and know beforehand how to process how actually to do that, because you can do it, and you need to know to make sure that you don't use too much. And one of the things with meat is that if you're going to dehydrate meat, you need to get rid of the fat, because if you don't get rid of the fat content within the meat, it's going to spoil. That's what causes the meat to spoil. That's what causes the meat to go bad much, much quicker, is the fat. If you don't get rid of the fat, that will cause the meat to decay and spoil much, much faster. So it's just, you know, some of the process of things that you need to contend with and learn and know now. So, so important. So, great point. Thanks, Scotty. Also, you... Where did the time go? Okay, so also, so you want to look at your canned vegetables. You want to make sure your cans aren't damaged when you purchase them, and then you want to be able to survey them and make sure they're not damaged throughout your time, and you want to be able to store them in a place where they can be protected out of the sun and preferably in a dark or cool place.
Good day.
And not exposed. Brother Davis, go ahead.
I just wanted to mention that we purchased the My Patriot Supply. They had an advertisement that you could get a four-week package of food. So I invested it and I got it. And it came in a really nice tote. It's not a metal tote, but it's a very nice tote with a locking lid. And I looked at all the foods, and they had I did take a picture of it. I got to post it. But it was a lot of little packaging, and of me, of course, the first thing I did was read the package, see what's inside, you know, I read all the ingredients and stuff. They didn't have, I think one or two things had some corn syrup, no high fructose corn syrup, though, because one of it was, syrup. But I did notice in some of the package things, the salt content was kind of high. So
yeah.
I did call them because they forgot. I had ordered some light salt, and the light salt went in there. So I called them about that. And I asked them specifically about the salt content. And they said that it is a little bit of salt, extra salt in there because preservatives.
Preservatives, yes.
So like you guys had said. But he said that in a situation where you're going to be eating it, chances are you're not going to have any air conditioning, and you're going to be outside, and you're going to be sweating more. So to have the extra salt is a benefit. Right now, we don't notice it. That's one of the reasons why, with high blood pressure, our bodies are not regulating correctly because we have air conditioning. And that's like an up-to-date nuance that they didn't have years ago. If the grid goes down, you don't have no electricity. You don't have no air. So your body then turns into the regulator back to where it was years ago. And the salt will be beneficial then more than what it is now.
Right. Yeah, exactly, Sister Davis. You know, Sadie and I were talking about that. And, yeah, and the thing about the salt, and then the optimum and the best way to do that is that you add that salt in the sea salt, the mineralized salt, the pink salt, the Himalaya salt. You know, it's a little more expensive, but that is even more beneficial than the sodium, purely sodium based salt that's there. So yeah, it will be beneficial to retaining some of your water. Go ahead.
Yeah. Another thing about my Our Patriot Supply, it has no GMO. That's one of the reasons why we went that direction. And if you don't open it, it has a 25-year shelf life. If you open it, it has a 365-day shelf life. So you want to keep that in mind because, literally, you want something for backup. This will not be our primary food source as long as we're mobile. But you have to understand what I'm saying, y'all. You want to be able to have something you can fall back on if push comes to a shove. Because most of the time, I expect to be out here. I have nuts. We've been putting trail mix, that sort of thing. That would be a steady diet. Trail mix, water, and we get no salt nuts across the board. Because literally, you could do so much with nuts. If you don't know it, you could crush your almonds, let them soak in water. You have almond milk, and you can use that for other things. So these are the ways you want to be thinking. And always keep this in mind. Don't think that you're going to have one mainstay. We have black beans. We have, we're trying to get as fresh of greens as we possibly can. In our area, there's a poi poi plant, which is a plant that's like green, like collard greens. So, well, you know, that grows plentiful on the riverfront. And one of the ways we found that out was through due diligence. And so definitely do due diligence in your area in reference to indigenous plants. But look, let you go, brother. Peace.
No, man, Brother Davis, Sister Davis, as always, great, and so necessary, and that's absolutely right. You know, you want to have what Brother Davis has, if you know, as a backup, And I'm glad he said that, you know, that they use that as a backup. You know, there's a you have to strategize this whole thing through, and that's what we're going to be talking about. And, you know, this food, because we're getting ready to come up to the end of the show, the table of the leg of food for the table of preparedness is a very extensive one. It's not something that we could just talk about at one time. I just wanted to give you a basis of things. We're going to come back to this. I don't know, maybe on Tuesdays we'll talk. On Mondays we'll talk about food, and then food, and then on Tuesdays we'll talk about water, and then, you know, because we really, really need to get through this, because the information is so great that we need to pass to you, and you need to start to apply this stuff. If you have any questions or comments, and you're a, you know, Tando Radio listener or a Black Talk Radio Network listener, this is where you need to call and ask questions now. You know, myself, Brother Davis, Scotty, our Brother Braggs, and just some of our regular listeners, we're here to help you. And you know, we'll try to get to some of these, you know, questions. If we can't answer it, you know, we'll definitely, I'll research and try to find something out. This is where you need to start asking questions while you still have time. The most important thing is to start preparing now. And I would say you can start by doing this. I don't care if you have to just go to the store every time you go grocery store buying, just buy one or two items that is just specifically for preparedness. That's where you start. You start where you can. Okay? Just start preparing. And then also you start to think where you can get things in case something happens immediately, and then you need to respond to it immediately. And this is why you need to know how you can go into God's garden and bring out the beneficial foods that are there, because there are things that are there, even here in the desert, that we can use. You know, we can eat dandelions and a bunch of other things. There are so many things that are edible that you can participate in. A lot of the weeds are, but you have to know, and there is a process to preparing them so that you can get the nutritional benefit that they have, or you can poison yourself and then take yourself out, and it's not going to be a very good way to go, a very painful way. So this was just the start of the overall leg of the on the table of preparedness, the leg of food. But we will continue this conversation tomorrow. I think we're going to jump into water. And I would say to everyone, please continue to prepare. And you know, we're getting ready to get out of here. I just want to thank you all, as always, for listening. Continue to support Black Talk Radio Network. Continue to support Tando. If you're interested in our precious metals class, the precious metals class that I give, contact me, 951-790-8330. Actually writing a book that I'm going to be publishing very, very soon here. So been real, really, really busy. And I'm going to put all of the information you know, that I possibly can into the book, and it's going to be extremely beneficial. But if you'd like to get in front of the overall precious metals class and preparedness class that we have, give me a call, text me, 951-790.
Uh-oh, it appears that we lost Brother Dave. Let me see what's going on. Yeah, we lost him, but you'll be able to get that telephone number by just giving him, playing back the podcast. I'm sorry, paying back the podcast, or you can contact him through Facebook. All right, thank you for tuning in to Tando Radio Show on the Black Talk Radio Network.
Girl, you are rich, even with nothing. And you know tenderness comes from pain. It's amazing.